Thanks for tuning in to Big Money in the 805. I'm Michael Anderson, and today we have Banks Staples Pecht on the program. She's an amazing person. You don't want to miss it. We'll also highlight some work with the City of Ventura Parks and Rec Department. We hope to make the next 30 minutes a very good investment of your time. Today's show is brought to you by Geico Local Office, car and homeowners insurance for the 805. You could save up to 15%. Call Greg Mock of Geico Local Office, 805-487-7847.
Michael Anderson, Chief Investment Officer at Maranatha Financial. Due to industry regulations, he will not discuss any of Maranatha's investments on this program. All opinions expressed by participants on this program are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Maranatha Financial or its affiliates. For more information, visit maranatha.com.
It's time for Big Money in the 805 with your host, Michael Anderson, bringing you a feature interview, a local nonprofit spotlight, and some financial wisdom. Get local and relevant information for the 805. For show notes and more information, go to maranatha.com. And now, here's your host, Michael Anderson.
Thanks for joining us today on Big Money in the 805. We've got a great show lined up. We'd like to remind you that you can search for Big Money in the 805 on Facebook or iTunes. And if you like the show, please give us a good review. We'd love to hear from you online. And this show is also available for free. All of the previous shows for Big Money in the 805 are at maranatha.com or on podcast platforms like iTunes. We've got a great feature interview today, and I'm excited to introduce Banks Staples Pecht as our feature interview. She is an executive coach, and she is the founder of Banks Coaching. In that role, she leads corporations and individual executives through transitions. She also motivates high achievers to go even higher, and she helps with the work-life balance. Prior to coaching, she had her career as a commercial litigator with a global law firm representing biotechnology and telecommunications companies. Banks also earned her bachelor's degree, cum laude, at Princeton University, and her JD, cum laude, from University of San Diego. Banks is also a wife, mother, writer, and international champion barbershop quartet singer. Banks, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I'm thrilled to be here.
Thanks. That was a lot there. I really enjoyed the introduction here. Princeton. Wow, that's awesome. Barbershop quartet. Tell us about the barbershop quartet.
So I'm a member of Sweet Adelines International, which is a global organization of about 30,000 women worldwide who compete in the barbershop art form. So we have choruses and quartets around the world and parallel tracks, and twice now choruses that I've participated in have won the whole shebang. We've won the Olympics of barbershop.
Oh, that's
and
beautiful.
So our chorus are really a lot of fun. It's a great way to create art with terrific women and have a good time. We've won the gold medal twice, and I'm also an internationally ranked quartetter.
Beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I want to jump into the feature interview with regards to coaching. We've done some work together. You're fantastic.
I'm thoroughly impressed
with the work you do. It's a treat to have you on the program. Let's first start with this. You were in law,
mm-hmm.
you know, normally a very high-paying job, and you switched to go into coaching, which can also be rewarding, but that's a drastic shift. Tell us about that.
What happened there, Mike, is I worked my whole life to land the best job that I didn't want, and I didn't realize I didn't want it until after I was already there. So I had the brass ring job. I was working at a global law firm. I was a commercial litigator in one of their great groups, doing meaningful work with terrific colleagues. I just discovered after a period of time that the nature of litigation specifically is not in alignment with how I felt I could do my best work. I've said many times before, I think if you can become a good litigator, but to be a great litigator, you're born a great litigator. Mm-hmm. And I knew I could be good as a litigator, but I was finding that spending all day fighting with people for a living was not filling my soul as much as I would have liked. And then life and work intersected, and I actually made the move to transition into 10 years in retained executive search, which was my in-between between law and coaching, where I worked with private equity-backed portfolio companies to help them find their senior level talent. So I spent 10 years researching, interviewing, and vetting senior leaders from around the world, and really started to understand the importance of how we show up in the workplace is as important or more important as what we know. The skill sets that we need to be successful in work and in life are so nuanced and varied. I found I was fascinated by the people I was talking with and in their stories. And that was a through line from law too, that I was always fascinated by my colleagues and fascinated by my clients. So when I decided to start banks coaching, I went back to graduate school again, because I'm an inveterate collector of graduate degrees, and started my business coaching leaders around the country on their professional skill development, goal setting, public speaking, you name it, I do it.
So let's go into coaching a little bit and talk about that, because I think there's a disconnect between this idea of what coaching is. A lot of people don't know what you do. When we say coaching, they have a perception of what they think that is, but it's maybe different than what you actually do. So tell us and tell our listeners, what is coaching and how is that different than maybe counseling or what other people might think coaching is?
Thanks for that question, Mike. It's an important clarification. So I am what's called an ICF, the International Coach Federation, certified coach. And that's a whole process one has to go through to get that level of certification. So far, coaching, unlike the therapeutic environment, is as yet unregulated. There's a global organization looking to put parameters around the level of quality that's being offered in the coaching field. And it was important to me to go back to graduate school and get that certification so that I could be sure that there was a there. Maybe it's my lawyer brain, just knowing that what we were doing is providing real value to our clients. So coaching can be very therapeutic, but it is not therapy. I am not skilled to do that. Therapy is the really deep healing work that you do in a one-on-one environment with your therapist to heal a hurt, you know, and that is so important. I'm a huge advocate of therapy, and I often will work with clients who are maybe engaging in a therapeutic relationship around one aspect of something that's going on, but are otherwise capable of being optimized. The coaching relationship is much more a relationship of partners and peers. So I come in as a strategic partner to my clients. It's very much a peer relationship where it is my job to help facilitate their awareness and help them goal set and then be accountable. So for my linear thinkers, if therapy, say, takes you from negative 10 to zero, coaching takes you from zero to positive 10. For my picture thinkers, it's if the car goes into a ditch and breaks the axle, your mechanic is your therapist. If your car goes into a ditch and needs somebody to put a shoulder, and otherwise is working fine, but needs somebody to help put a shoulder under the bumper and figure out which way to go and put the foot on the gas pedal, that's when I come in.
That's very well said.
Thank you.
Well, how about this? I know sometimes in life, we normally might get stuck at times with work. We're in a rut, or even in life, sometimes we feel stuck and we're just having difficult moments. How does that show up for people and how do you work with them through that?
Well, you know, I say all the time that we don't always need a therapist, but everybody could use a coach. You know, when do you have somebody whose only job is to be your advocate and help you be your best self and do your best work? How that really shows up is it typically, you know, the way I like to frame it is when there's no there, you know, you're just kind of chugging along and something's not quite working, but you're not quite sure what it is and you're wanting to make a change, or maybe you find yourself in a transition unwillingly. I work with a lot of people who've recently been riffed, you know, who are looking to take the opportunity to do a deep dive. And, you know, they're terrific performers. They're looking to do a deep dive into what they want to do. Maybe it's you have a work-life balance issue. Something just seems a little out of whack and you're not fulfilled, satisfied. You're not getting what you want. In terms of adult development, there are different stages that we go through that are documented in the science and in the evidence. And it's really common to see these points of transition, that these inflection points. Maybe you are transitioning from your 20s to 30s and you're trying to create, first you're all gung-ho career and then you're getting married or you have a partner and you're trying to figure out how does that look? Or maybe you're having a family, now how does that look? I work with a lot of people, frankly, over the age of 60 who are wanting to, they're looking at maybe the next role or maybe they're in a role and they're thinking, okay, I've got maybe 10 more years in me of a work relationship and I want it to have a little bit more meaning. You know, what's my legacy going to be? So, you know, at any stage in our life, we're just really, I encourage my clients to ask the questions, ask the hard questions and really make the meaning.
So how do you help people when they're confused or maybe they're stressed out about next steps, wanting maybe more from life or more from a job? What are the ways that you actually drill down and are you giving them solutions or are you helping them find the solutions?
I help them find their own solutions. If I were giving them their solutions, they wouldn't be meaningful. Because all of the adult learning and all the data and science shows that when we're adults, we're capable of being the experts of our own lives. And my clients are the experts in their own lives. My job is to come in and ask them good questions that maybe they hadn't thought of. Maybe there's a prevailing narrative that blocks another way of thinking about something or that doesn't give them permission to explore. So my job is to come in and ask the good questions that challenge my clients to really look at what's getting in their way. What's this really all about? You know, my first question to my clients is, how can you possibly get there when there's no there? Where is there for you?
Right.
And what does success mean to you at this stage? not your parents, not, you know, anybody else, but for you, what does success look like? What does it look like in terms of your relationships, your economics, the meaning that you're getting out of your work? What is that picture? Let's paint it. Mm. And then let's figure out what resources you have and what resources you need and to go, and that we together craft a strategy that's customized to your needs. And then we set accountability metrics. So between, you know, here's where we want to go. Okay, here's short, mid, and long term. Here's what that looks like. Then, okay, what do we need to get moving on the short term goals? And then really helping my clients create actionable steps that we agree on that they will then endeavor to accomplish in between each of our calls or meetings. A really important, if I may take the time to just explain this a little bit, Mike, a really key piece about this, and this might be my lawyer brain talking, and I do pull a lot forward from law and retained search. So, you know, you are the sum of your parts. The importance of separating fact from emotion is a key aspect of our work together. If you have in the law, you know, you have how the facts on one side of the scale and the law on the other side of the scale. And what you're trying to figure out is how do those two things work together or not work together to create an answer. What I like to say is you have the scale in coaching, but on one side are the facts, which exist neutrally in space. You know, a car is driving down the street and almost hits a cat. Okay, that almost happened. If that cat is your cat, all of a sudden it's much more important. It matters because of the importance and the emotion that you're attaching to those facts, which exist in space. And I'm an evidence-based coach. That's my training. So emotion can be used as terrific data and evidence of why something is mattering to us. Mm-hmm. It can happen in the workplace in terms of interpersonal relationships. What's that trigger about? It can happen in terms of why something feels a little out of whack. So I think so often in life, we're encouraged to turn off our emotions when in fact, we're missing the biggest piece in our decision-making process. And neurobiological research has proven out that a humankind is neurobiologically an emotion-driven animal, an emotion-driven decision maker. And if you knock that part of the brain out, people are incapable of making decisions. So if we don't honor that, and really do a deep dive into what's going on there, you're not going to get anywhere. So that's a really key piece of the work we do to get unstuck. Say, okay, what narrative is coming up? What's this telling us about your values? And how do we make all of these things work together so this works for you?
You mentioned a few things there that I think are so important, so salient, so real. Like in a lot of ways, coming out of grade school, I don't think as adults we have ways where we're still structuring where we want that future to go. Mm-hmm. I don't think people lay it out the same way in adulthood as they do maybe in education or in grade school or college. And that changes sometimes in adulthood. So it's interesting to hear you help people identify what the goal is and what resources are there. I think that's a very neat approach and something a lot of adults, frankly, don't do.
Thank you. I feel that it's very important. It's why I've crafted my entire career around it. And really at bottom, what I do is I create the space for people to come in and create a partnership to really look at everything that's going on from 35,000 feet. You know, what's working great? Awesome. Let's optimize it. Let's maximize it. Okay. Where do we need to do a mid-course pivot? You know, and then that's, and to be in that partnership and to see the work that can happen, so powerful. And it's so exciting for me to see my clients just fly.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
So nowadays we're seeing career movements that are different maybe than we saw of baby boomer generations or folks that are older. There are more movements. People are navigating their career in a different way for growth. What are some things that you're seeing and what does it look like in helping people with those types of conversations, career growth?
Well, and again, I think that's part of the reason why coaching is becoming such a huge field. Because again, we don't always need to have a deep dive into a therapeutic environment, but to have somebody where you can create that space and start asking the questions. I like to say that we're not looking for answers, we're looking for questions. I heard a great quote by a coach mentor whom I adore named Julio Olalla, and I'm going to paraphrase. He said, "I'm bored by people who always have the answers, but I'm fascinated by people who have a great question." And so that's really where I think the transition piece is interesting. Is it there is a lot more transition now. I think that's just a fact. It's rare to see somebody who goes and stays at a job until they get a pen at the end of their career. So at each of these inflection points throughout your career, you have an opportunity to say, okay, what's the next question? Not who do I want to be when I grow up, but who do I want to be right now? And so these questions can be so important. And, you know, if there's any theme throughout my career as a lawyer or in retained search or now as an executive coach, it's really the power of crafting a great question can create incredible growth and meaning.
I want to ask you about this with interviewing and new jobs. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about interviewing. Most people hate interviews, but we all have to do it if there's a job change taking place.
I love interviews.
How can you help people put their best foot forward.
We talk about this a lot, particularly with my career transition folks, but even just in terms of negotiating, advocating, working with stakeholders across an organization, the question we're always at need to be asking ourselves, why am I the solution to your problem? Anybody who's hiring or anybody we're working with, frankly, on some level, has a problem. And our job is to ask ourselves, why am I the solution to your problem? And that is incredibly powerful from an interviewee's standpoint. It's very empowering to think, here is what I bring to the table, and here is why I am the answer to your problem. There are a couple of ways to think about that. Particularly, are we talking mostly in the job interview context?
In general, yeah, okay. Well, for now. And then I want to ask a question for people that are over 60 as well. But let's first talk about just interviews.
So in terms of a career transition where you're specifically in a job interview, there are a couple of things you can do beforehand to really up your game. The first one is to do some serious thought about what your personal brand is. Most of us don't ever give that a second of thought. Mm-hmm. We think about Coke has a brand, Nike has a brand, but think about people with strong personal brands. Oprah has a very strong personal brand. Mm. We all have a personal brand. We all have gifts. We all have strengths. It's not just what we've done, but a brand is more encompassing and it lands with who we are in the present and who we want to and can become. Spending some time thinking about what are your gifts? What do you do? Why do you do it? Who do you help? Why should they care? That's always a good question, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, starting to think about how you show up in the workplace in as few words as possible. And it's not supposed to be a sales pitch. It really is. If I said to you, Mike, why should I hire you? You could say something like, I fix things fast. And then let me tell you, and that would be a brand. Or maybe somebody else would be, I do work that matters. You know, whatever it is, and it's going to be different for every single person. So I help my clients define their brand as succinctly and as authentically as we can so they can really be powerful in their networking and interviewing. Another piece is really to tell your story and tell your story effectively. Don't wait to see what questions they ask. Figure out what in your story illustrates why you're the solution to their problem. And then there's a couple of great structures. One of my favorites is called PAR. It's P as in Paul, A-R, and it's problem, action, result. And this is a great way to frame up an answer to an interview question and think of your stories beforehand. You know, what are the three or four key elements from my background that are going to be important for this role? And then tell me a story. What was the problem? Were you recruited over because you were very successful in this role somewhere else? Is it an underperforming function? Are they standing up a new group? Is there a leadership issue? What's the problem? Why were you there? What did you specifically do? What action, A, did you specifically do to address those problems? And then most importantly, and a part that so many of us forget, is what was the result? We often just go straight to the action, but we don't tell the story, we don't set the stage, and we don't give the conclusion. And that's really powerful in telling me why I should hire you, because that shows that you understand the role and that you've demonstrated, you can show me that you've demonstrated an ability to drive results at the other end of what you were doing. So that's really strong. And then every single interview I encourage my clients to think is a networking opportunity. Even if you don't get the job, it's not a fail if you've created a relationship, because you might not have been right for that role. And it could have been for a variety of reasons, but it doesn't mean you're a bad person or that you're not capable. It just means that role wasn't a good fit. And the more that we can walk away from every single interview with yet more opportunities to build our personal and professional network, people hire people.
We're talking with Bank Staples Pecht. She's an executive coach, and she's sharing a lot of great insight today about coaching and what she does and what that industry is. Banks, what are some additional resources, some places that people can go to learn more about coaching or career advancement?
They can go to bankscoaching.com. They can come to me, obviously. I do work locally here in Ventura, but also nationwide. My practice is with leaders around and some global, and I'm happy to help. Also, the International Coach Federation has a website that talks a lot about what coaching is, various resources, referral resources, that kind of thing. Online research is a great place. And, you know, we all have our own smell test. You know, so much about coaching is there a coach-client fit? It really is a professional relationship in that sense. You know, and as my father, who's an attorney, always says, he says, you know, in a professional relationship, 99 other people will have the skills to do your job, but they'll want to work with you because of how you make them feel. So the fit between a coach and a client is so important. So really is go out, see what's out there, and then, you know, talk to people on the phone, see if there's fit with their style and your approach and what you're looking to accomplish.
Our feature interview today is Banks Staples Pecht. You can connect with her and learn more about coaching with her firm. Go online at bankscoaching.com. Banks, thank you for joining us today.
Mike, thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
What's in the news? This segment is brought to you by FamilyMoneyClass.com. You're never too old or too early to learn about money. Use promo code KVTA for a 50% discount. Check out FamilyMoneyClass.com. What's in the news this week? It's always good to be aware of the local news. We have Tim Gallagher, former editor of the Ventura County Star, taking on this segment. Tim, thanks for being on the program. And what's in the news this week?
Well, Mike, in Ventura right now, it's about the Thomas Fire, and it's going to continue to dominate the news in Ventura County for a long time. There's lots going on there with issues about the cleanup, who's doing the cleanup, how long it will take, what it will cost. And, oh, yes, can you sue anyone about the fire? Last week, the DA's office cited 55 businesses that were working on cleanup or repair work on the homes that burned down. As you know, that's going to be a big deal. These businesses did not have the proper insurance or workers' compensation for its employees. One of them didn't have a contractor's license at all. You got to feel sorry for the people who are trying to rebuild their homes up there. They're going through so much. First of all, the cleanup is not a simple process because of the contaminants and the toxins. It has to be cleaned up in a very specific way, and all the companies that do that are really busy. The plans to rebuild have to go through the whole city process. It's going to take some time. In the meantime, you're starting to see a lot of ads in the local papers for law firms that are trying to attract people who, you know, might want to sue somebody to say who is responsible for the start of this fire or for you losing your home. On top of that, Mike, some of the people who either tried to put out the fires and successfully or fight the fires in their areas, they ran up pretty huge water bills, and the city is not giving them much forgiveness on those bills. There's been a lot of controversy about that. The other aspects of it are good news this week. There are a lot of businesses that lost as a result of the fire. The SBA and the Women's Economic Ventures are putting together some workshops for businesses to show them how they can get some help or recover some of that loss. And then finally, nice story of the week was that the Ojai Raptor Center took in about 20 different birds that were displaced by the fire and has gotten them back into health, including a very cool barn owl that they had for several weeks, released back out into the wild this week. And if you've never heard a barn owl screech, Mike, you haven't lived yet. So I'm Tim Gallagher, and I'm part of the 2020 Network, and it's great to be a part of this News of the Week with you.
Tim Gallagher, what's in the news? Thanks for joining us. That was great.
Now it's time for the Nonprofit Spotlight with your host, Michael Anderson, on Big Money in the 805.
Nonprofit Spotlight. Here's a local group we want you to know about, Nonprofit Spotlight. Today's Spotlight is brought to you by Era Energy, powered by safety, innovation, and community. We help keep California moving forward. Today in the studio, we have Mario Robinson and Stephen DeFreitas from the City of Ventura Recreation Department. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you
for having us.
Yeah, it's nice to have you in the studio today. Now, you guys have some awesome programs you guys are doing in the Recreation Department. The first one I want to talk about is this Teen Voice Leadership Summit. It's an event you guys are doing for at-risk youth. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. Let's tell our listeners about this program.
On Friday, March 2nd, we have a leadership summit where we invite our three high schools and one middle school over to the City of Ventura for leadership development. The program started in 2008, and it's really an option is to give students an opportunity to develop leadership skills, meet great community folks to help them build those leadership skills and to connect and to have future opportunities to build development and self-esteem.
Yeah, and we've had some great support really in the past, and actually even this year, we have some really great people coming in and speaking on different things. For example, our keynote speaker is Matt Coulter, and he's founder,
the co-founder, Young and Brave.
The Young and Brave Foundation. And we have other individuals coming in. Can I put you on the spot?
Yeah.
Including our host here. Mike is going to be coming in here and talking about those financial choices for those young adults and that next step. We have another speaker on, you know, who's going to touch base on just having confidence in those decisions. And then another speaker speaking on community partners and partnerships and the importance beyond that.
Now, it's a great program. I'm excited to be a part of it. And you guys have done it for a long time. And it really is a beautiful thing, a Teen Voice Leadership Summit. Now, what other programs does the rec department help with in the city of Ventura?
We have an after-school program called PEAK, a program enrichment for after-school kids. We have about 700 students that we take care of every single day in after-school programming. They get recreation enrichment, after-school homework help, lots of cool activities that the city puts on just to make sure the kids are safe on campus. It's a great opportunity for parents to know their kids are safe while they're at work, and it just provides them with a great opportunity to be around great mentors and great college students who work for us. So the program's been awesome. It's been going around for 15 years now, and we're in our 15th year anniversary, so it's a great program. And it's our partnership with the Ventura Unified School District and the Ventura Police Activities League.
Yeah, just like all of our programs run, is kind of in that partnership really realm. And these guys have been running a great job. I say these guys, Mario Robinson, Judy Devine, actually helped start these programs, I guess, 15 years ago. And that's pretty incredible, really, in the after-school world. We were almost ahead of the curve, and now I get to jump on late in the train. And like I said, serving 700 of the underserved kids at Title I schools, I'm spoiled to be here and part of the opportunities that we provide.
Tell me about the Police Activities League. I remember when I was in high school, I was involved, and I think it had a different name at the time. I think it was Cops and Jocks.
Right.
They've since, I think, switched that mm-hmm. name. But what is the Police Activities League, and what are some of the things that you guys do, and what's the objective?
I mean, the PAL program supports all of our programs. You know, PAL was developed to give back to youth and get police officers involved in giving back. A lot of our police officers stop by our after-school programs, and we want to bridge that gap between officers and kids, and knowing that officers are human beings and they can relate to kids, not just being an officer, but by visiting an after-school program and doing field trips and being involved. So PAL has our annual golf tournament they do every year that supports our programs. It's great to have $30,000 to give back to our kids so that we can continue to keep these programs going. So it's just been a great partnership. PAL's been awesome, and the officers come out. They're doing a kayaking trip. They just did like 3 weeks ago with our kids, and now they're planning an island trip during the spring break. So they just want to give back to kids, be involved, and show the community that police officers care about our youth and the future of our kids.
Now, how can the community get involved with helping at-risk youth or with the recreation department? What are some ways that our listeners might be able to be engaged?
You know, Ventura's a neat town, and so we have a lot of people that are willing to help out and wanting to help out. The best way to do that is either coming to our events or stopping by City Hall. We're in room 226, very welcoming in there. But coming in, letting us know how you want to get involved, or if there's something that sparked your interest, if there's something you're involved in that you'd like to help bring to the attention of these kiddos and the community that we have and the youth that we do serve, bring it to our attention. Come meet us, and we'd be happy to sit down and talk to you and talk about opportunity.
Our guest today is Mario Robinson and Stephen DeFreitas from the City of Ventura Recreation Department. You can also learn more online about the Teen Voice Leadership Summit event or the Police Activities League and also the other programs they have going on in the City of Ventura. Go online. You can Google City of Ventura Parks and Recreation Department. Thank you guys for being on the program today.
Thank you for having us, Mike.
And that does it for our show today. Thanks for tuning in to Big Money in the 805. You can check us out on Facebook and iTunes. If you're liking the show, please give us a positive review. We'd love to see that. And special thanks to Greg Mock from GEICO Local Office and Dan Boyd from Boyd & Associates. Also, Tom Spence, big thanks to him, the engineer here at KVTA. If you have questions about the show or questions about your financial matters, you can always contact me online at marinantha.com. Leave a message on my answering service, 805-665-3767. Have a great week and join us again next time.
Hi, this is Michael Anderson, Certified Financial Planner. I've dedicated the past 12 years to researching different investment ideas. There are no guarantees when investing, but with a little help, you can find the right approach. I have built AllocationLink.com specifically for you. AllocationLink.com is investment management made simple, smart, and low cost. AllocationLeak.com can have your account set up in less than 10 minutes. Please visit AllocationLeak.com to learn more. Or you can leave me a message at 805-665-3767.
Do you ever question if your investments are right for you? Do you own any annuities, retirement accounts, or have other money you want help with? Have you ever wondered what your advisor is making or how they get paid? Get a free second opinion. Talk with Michael Anderson, Certified Financial Planner. Call his answering service today, 805-665-3767. Leave a message and get a call back immediately. 805-665-3767.